Our scripture today continues in the Gospel of Luke, a passage known as the Sermon on the Plain, where Jesus, on a level place, is teaching his disciples what it means to follow him as a crowd gathers round and tries to touch him and be healed. Listen for the word of God. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In all of Christian history, some of my favorite stories are the stories of people in the early centuries after the apostles who came to be called the desert fathers and mothers. And they came to be called that because they pretty much went out into the desert, and that's it. There were people who took the commands of Jesus very seriously indeed, the sort who actually gave away all they had to the poor and then wandered into the desert to live on as little as possible, like some sort of cowboys of the spirit. They'd gather reeds and weave baskets to keep their hands busy as they prayed, and then they'd sell the baskets, and they'd keep enough for their basic needs and give the rest away. They gave spiritual advice if anyone asked, and then they would try to see just how much time they could spend praying without going crazy, living on nothing but the love of God and some beans. They were sunburned and stringy thin sort of people. And the people who visited them wrote down what they said and told all sorts of stories, tall tales and legends and maybe some true ones about these people who were maybe very holy and maybe cracked in the head a little bit, and maybe it was sometimes hard to tell which was which. My favorite out of all of them was a guy named Macarius. He's got some of the wildest stories of all, from verbal arguments with the devil to cranky remarks to people in interrupting his quiet. I could tell you all sorts of those stories, but in one, old man Macarius was coming back to his old hut, and he saw that there was a thief who had come by, and the thief was there still in the process of loading up everything Macarius had onto a donkey. And so Macarius went over to the thief, and he began to help him load. He picked up every last thing he had and sent the thief off with it. His heart was at peace, and he said, "We have brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world," as all his worldly possessions disappeared into the distance. There's a similar kind of story in one of the great works of literature, Les Misérables. A desperate ex-convict, pressed fresh from prison, has nowhere to stay, so a Catholic priest invites him in for the night. And the man's gratitude is overtaken by his panic about the future. So he steals the priest's silverware and flees into the night. And then later that night, the police catch him with his clearly stolen merchandise, and they march him back to the priest to confirm him as a thief. And the priest says, "No, I gave him that silverware. But it's good you're here. You forgot to take the silver candlesticks, too." And the police are forced to let him go, suspicious, but what can they do? And they leave. And the thief stands baffled by this act of grace. And the priest says to him, "Forget not. Never forget that you have promised me to use this silver to become an honest man. My brother, you belong no longer to evil, but to good. It is your soul that I am buying for you." And so the former thief is true to his command. His life was bought by grace, and so he lives it in grace. And his life transforms the lives of those around him. It's a beautiful story. But it is fiction. Not that such transformations can't happen, but they don't always. I would love to tell you that the story of Macarius in the desert had a similar beautiful transformation, that the thief who stole all the monk had lived a new life in grace. But the story does not say so. Macarius does not have any powerful words about buying the man's soul for God. The thief rides off into the desert, still a thief, and Macarius is left, a half-crazy old coot with just an empty hut and whatever peace is in his heart. Sometimes a gift transforms the one to whom it was given. And sometimes you can't see a difference at all. Give and take, back and forth, quid pro quo, the world is built on these things. All human society needs them every second of our lives. Even the act of flicking a light switch is not solitary. It's an act of unthinking human expectation. Your finger flick pulls electricity from a network of people doing their jobs. You pay for them to do their job so that when you flick the light switch, the lights will turn on. It's a whole web of them, all expectations we have of other people. And it's expectations of other people that guide us through stoplights where we trust that a red light will stop those barreling tractor trailers, just as the red light stops you. Even those who build themselves an armor of crotchety cynicism have not really cut those threads of expectations of the world. They still pass through intersections at green lights and supermarket checkout lines, and are so full of expectations so deeply that usually the expectations don't surface in the mind at all. Giving and the expectation of return, this is the stuff that builds the whole of the American financial system. The world economy, even. People lend so that they might receive back with interest. And all our rules of politeness and proper behavior are built on what we can expect from others and what others can expect from us. And it's give and take that builds friendship too, back and forth. We love and we are loved in return. We are good to other people and other people are good to us. Marriages are built on that. And that's not bad. It's precious to love and be loved in return. To give and be given back to. But sometimes the light switch doesn't flick on. Or the truck barrels through a red light inches from an unsuspecting car. Someone cuts in front of us at the checkout line, or our kind words are met with sharp hostility, our love with betrayal, and we are furious. They have broken with the give and take of all human interaction. And it's maybe natural to be angry at that. That back and forth, that expectation, it's built into the fabric of our lives at such a deep level, it's hard to be otherwise. But the gospel calls us to more than give and take, and that is tough. It's very tough. Jesus speaks as the crowd tries to touch him. They hope that even the grasp of a finger behind his head will shoot out divine power, that he will keep giving and giving and healing and healing. And he does give, and he will give more to the crowds, to the disciples on the mountaintops and on the plains and on the cross. He gives out of God's boundless store of grace. And in the light of grace, he speaks to those who would be claimed by grace. If you give only when you receive back, well, isn't that what loan sharks do? Won't even a thief do the same and still stay a thief? If you only love people who love you, well, even the biggest narcissist in the world can do that. Dictators have friends and wives, and so do terrorists. There's still give and take back and forth, even in those twisted lives, and you are called to more. I think of how often, even when we give to the less fortunate, those we know cannot pay us back, how our love is often twisted by an expectation of return of some kind. How bitter we grow when our gift does not receive a smile of gratitude. When our magnanimous act of forgiveness does not cause a life to change. When the thief stays a thief. The addict stays an addict. The bitter, cruel person stays a bitter, cruel person. We did not get back what we were expecting to give back. Yet God is gracious, even to the ungrateful. And Christ calls us to such grace, for that is the grace that has been given us. There's something frightening in that call. There's a reason those words have been twisted and put to misuse. Even the very power of them has been turned to cruel expectations. The powerful have often spoken them to keep people in their place, which is precisely the opposite of what they're for. Think how cruelly people have spoken the words, "turn the other cheek." People have said to the downtrodden and poor, "do not try to change an unjust world, just grimace and bear it." People have been told by the powerful to stay in abusive homes, that it's their responsibility, but that is not the mission of grace either. For Jesus was still the loving Jesus when he turned over the tables of money changers and spoke painful truths to the powerful. And yet he never stopped loving them. And when the people of Jesus' hometown gathered around to stone him, he left. And so I refuse to counsel those in abusive homes to stay when Jesus did not stay. He left and he did not go back. But he left still with love. The love and care of one who refused to let them become murderers on that day, and whose grace would be offered to them. For even if they could kill him, they could not make him stop loving them. Neither are these commands a command to destroy yourself just to give until you are totally spent. Jesus took rest. He spent time alone. Jesus ate when he was hungry. He prayed for his own needs and wants, as well as the needs and wants of others. Do not presume to hold yourself to a higher standard than Jesus. It won't end well. You are a precious human being who God loves, and so you are not to be used lightly. But these words stand. These words are not words to pile up burdens. They are a calling. And they are a calling because they describe how you are loved. I think of that old smiling kook Macarius in the desert, laughing as the thief rode away with what? Beans? A book? Money? All his worldly possessions, but still he smiled because the thief could take from him nothing that really mattered. And so he gave it freely. Neither must you let anything stop you from loving. Never let the failures of others make your heart fail. Never let the bitterness of the world keep you bitter. Never let the evil of the world turn your heart to evil, nor cruelty make you cruel. The love of God is too powerful for that. It calls you. It dwells in you beyond anything you could deserve or ask. And as you give that love, it claims you all the more. It is always ready. So let us be boundless in our love, as God is boundless.